Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We're a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday evening worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
God bless you for being here tonight. It's good to see all of you. I see a lot of new faces. I know that you're probably family and friends of those that are being baptized tonight. We're grateful that you're here. And just to let you know, if you don't have a church home or a place that you go worship, we're always here. We have services every Sunday and Wednesday, and we'd love for you to be a part of our fellowship also. So God bless you for being here tonight. And I know that the families of those that are being baptized are very happy that you're here. It's a wonderful support. It's wonderful to see our church family here tonight too, because this is a big event. This is a big event for us, and we're just grateful that you're here. And that's why we have afterwards, in case you didn't know, we have a little celebration after we get finished here. We are Baptist, and so we eat whenever we can. And that's it. Yes, sir. So when the baptism is over, we invite you to go over to the fellowship hall, and when all the folks get cleaned up and dressed from the baptism, then we'll enjoy some cake and ice cream. And I hope they have a pot of coffee over there. I'd like a cup of that. God bless you for being here. Let's open with a prayer, and then I will begin. Father God, we just thank you so much for the privilege it is to be in this place. We're just grateful for every gift you give us, and we certainly ask you to forgive us of the things that we just simply take for granted. And as I look out among all of these folk here, that the thing that we often take for granted is just the love that we have for a family. I just thank you, God, that the families could be here tonight to support these people that have made this commitment, this life commitment to follow you. I just pray you'll bless us and be with us, and I pray we honor you with everything that's said and done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight is the night, I guess, that I most look forward to as the pastor. And that's to conduct a baptism service. It's exciting for me, and I'm not nearly as excited as Eliza is. She was so excited that she told her mom this week that she just had to come by and speak to me, and so I had to meet with her earlier this week just so we could talk about it. And it just made me feel excited, Eliza, because I've never seen kids as excited about the baptism. I see kids excited about Christmas and Santa, but about being baptized, it was like, I just can't wait until Sunday gets here. And I'll tell you, I told this story this morning, and I'll tell it again. You know, she asked me, she said, preacher, she said, you've baptized a lot of people, haven't you? I said, oh yeah, I've baptized a lot of folk. And she said, did you baptize Dr. Martin Luther King? And I said, no, I didn't. But so she apparently had studied him this week. And since, you know, I resemble Moses, I must have been around when he was baptized. It's exciting for this to be tonight, though, just to be able to perform this ordinance that has been commanded of us to perform as a church, to conduct this baptism. We'll talk about the ordinances. We're given two ordinances, especially in the Baptist church, I suppose, and that is to partake of the communion, the Lord's table, and to baptize. And I don't know if you keep up with this. I've been with Grants Creek, next month will be 2 years now, and we've had, I think tonight, we'll put us about 40 or 42 people that we've had baptized. Just exciting, isn't it? Knowing that God is doing a wonderful thing. It is exciting. As Eliza is excited about being baptized, I know that the Lord is just as excited that we are being a part of this time together tonight. Baptism is a serious thing that we take part in, though, as a church. Baptism is a serious step that's taken by the believer that has made a commitment to follow Jesus. And baptism is something that we should celebrate in the life of a Christian. And I want to be brief tonight, but you know that's probably not going to be the case. because I have some important things to share with you. And when I look and I see a lot of faces, maybe many of you don't know exactly what it means to be baptized. I mean, it's one of the things that maybe we don't preach about as often as we should in church. And so I want you to understand something about it tonight. So if you want to take notes, you can certainly do that. And we'll get somebody to pass some papers around for you, because there'll be a quiz on it afterwards. There's been a lot of questions concerning baptism. You know, what does it mean, and why do we perform it? Why do we dunk people here in the Baptist churches, and why not sprinkle them? And should we baptize babies? And the reason that I've chosen this passage in Romans, as we'll see here, Romans in chapter 6, is I believe that it's the best description as to how and what baptism really and truly represents in a new believer's life. And within the Baptist denomination, we celebrate these two ordinances that I just spoke of. And every Christian denomination, though, every Christian denomination practices baptism in some way or another. Some pour water over a person's head, some sprinkle, some baptize babies, and we put people underneath the water. Now, I'm not here to criticize or any of these. I'll tell you why we do what we do, but it's not the point that I want to make tonight. But it's important for us to remember that we are under the commandment of the Great Commission. And that's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 it begins. And this is for all of us. This is not just for the few. This is not just for those that are the apostles. This is for all of us. The Lord has commanded us. He said, "Then the 11 apostles went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Now remember that. That's important for you to remember. "Therefore," say, "all authority has been given to me." So therefore, this is what he's telling them to do, because he has the authority to do this. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's the last thing the Lord told the disciples before he ascended into heaven. Should it be important? Well, it must be if it's the very last thing that he said. My father passed away 1 year ago this past Saturday, yesterday. I remember distinctly the last thing that he said to me. I'll never forget the words. So that, as important as that was, you know that the words that Jesus gave his apostles were that important. So here we have the Lord's final instructions to these guys that followed him. And he's telling them to go make disciples. And in order to be a disciple, he's saying that you should baptize these people. And he says to teach them to obey the things that he's commanded them. And this was a clear commandment from the Lord. Now Jesus speaks with this authority. I said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So with this authority, he gives them the command to go and do this. Each baptism that we perform here at Grants Creek, you'll hear me say again and again the things that I'm going to talk about tonight. And it's because there are so many different thoughts about baptism and what they should be, or what it should be. Some would say that you should baptize your children when they're infants. Just like Abraham commanded to circumcise his children after just a few days old, And that we should baptize little ones to commit them to the Lord just as Abraham did. Now, I'm going to deal with these. I'm just telling you the different thoughts that people have about this. Some say that sprinkling was the appropriate way to baptize. Sprinkling got its origin in reference back in the Old Testament when the priests were to go into the tabernacle and they were to do the workings that they were to do there. And what they did was to cleanse themselves, and the word for cleanse in the Hebrew was baptize. So that's where we get the term there, where the sprinkling came in, or the cleansing. And sprinkling was one of the ways that they did it. This is one of the ways that this came about. And baptism is something that we just do because it's an obedient act that we observe in reverence of the Lord. Well, it is, because the Lord had commanded us to do this. So I usually tell people that are being baptized, it's the first opportunity that you get to be obedient to the Lord. The first time that you have to do something to show that you're obedient to the will of God. Another question or thought is that many believe that when you're baptized that you receive the Holy Spirit the moment that you're immersed into the water, or when you come back out of the water.
Some believe that your sins are washed away in the baptism of waters. I ask kids this all the time. What does it mean to be baptized? And they'll tell me, my sins are washed away. Well, it's a beautiful thought. It is a beautiful thought. People believe that you're not truly saved until the moment of baptism. And again, I'm not here to criticize these different forms, and I'm not going to put down why different denominations baptize as they baptize. But I'm going to tell you why we Baptists do as we do. We Baptists believe that a person that is being baptized must profess to be a born-again Christian. That is the only thing that one must do in order to be baptized is just to profess the fact that they're born again. You don't have to be a member of a church or this church or any church. You need to profess that you're a born-again Christian, and I can guarantee you that every one of these eight that are being baptized tonight have told me that many times over. Now, I want to share why this is important, and so you understand salvation and baptism are two separate events. You've got to be saved first. And then as a response to that, you are to be baptized. If you take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 8, and I want you to look at verses 26 through 40, but I'm not going to read those tonight. I'm just going to read just a few of the verses 35 and 38. But I'm going to tell you what the story is about. Many of you may be familiar with it. It was a story about Philip, and he was called up in some kind of way, and God brought him to a particular place where he met a man that was traveling along the road, an Ethiopian eunuch. And he was apparently had been back in Jerusalem during the time of Passover, during the worship. And so he was reading from a particular passage from the scrolls, but he didn't know what he was reading. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip is wondering, walking along beside him, and he asked him the question, "Do you know what you're reading?" And the man says, "How can I know what I'm reading if no one will tell me what it is that I'm reading?" And Philip asked him the question, "Would you like me to tell you?" And in verse 35 and 38 here, it said, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And this passage was to show him in the prophecy that this man Jesus was the one that had suffered and sacrificed and had just been crucified on the cross. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" An immediate response. An immediate response to his salvation is that he wanted to be baptized. Now, if any of you got a King James Version, this other part here will be in that, and it's probably not in your NIV. It was actually, I won't get into the translations, but how it came about. But this is probably something that's in a later version of the text. And it said, "Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And the eunuch answered, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him." An immediate response. An immediate response. He was born again. He was saved. And the response that he had in that was to be baptized because he wanted to be obedient to God's command. Now, it's an interesting thing here is that he did this without thinking about it or figuring out, maybe I should do this later in life. I know so many people that come to me and say, "Well, I want to be baptized, Steve, but I think I got to get some things straight in my life first. I know I'm a Christian. I know I believe in Christ. I know I'm saved. But it's almost as if they feel like they've got to do something extra in order to be prepared for baptism. There's nothing for you to do. And that's the important thing that we need to realize as believers is there's nothing that you can bring to this, nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. Jesus has done it all. When he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for everybody's sin. Our response to that is to be baptized when we believe. And we don't talk about this much because we don't teach it in church as probably as much as we should. Remember, Jesus commanded this to be done before he ascended into heaven. And Jesus himself was baptized. If you remember the story there in Luke with John the Baptist baptizing. So it was something that Jesus himself knew that was important to do. John the Baptist had a little issue with it, and Jesus told him, "Do this to make all things right." He was important to do this. And even the Father, when this took place, when he came up out of the water, they heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." So obviously God the Father believed that baptism was the thing that should be done.
The point is that baptism is not salvation. Salvation comes when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then our response to that knowledge is the profession of our faith through the act of baptism. There's lots of ways that you can profess your faith, but this is one of the very first opportunities that you get. I've talked with all of these candidates over the past several weeks, and I'm convinced that they all have put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they know that He is Lord and Savior. Now, this is a great time of celebration, and it's exciting to be a part of this. It's exciting for you to witness it. Now, you may be here tonight thinking, yeah, it's just another old night. No. This is an exciting time for every one of you that are sitting here, that you're going to get the opportunity to witness something. You're going to witness a first-time thing for some of these people here. To be baptized is something that they're all a little nervous about, other than Eliza. She's not nervous at all. But it is, everybody's a little bit nervous about this, about going up there and standing in front of everybody and getting under the water, getting their hair all messed up. You know, it's just this stuff you got to do, right? So it's exciting that you are here with them to witness it. Now we see that Philip and the eunuch, they went down into the water, it says. Jesus went down into the water. And so when they went down, they had to be put under. It's what we get the understanding of. And the reason that we believe in full immersion is because it makes it possible to really identify with the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. That's why we do it. When the preacher in the Baptist church baptizes you, you're going to be taken up there in the water, and I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you under the water, and I'm going to hold you there. And I'm going to bring you back up, okay? I've had this happen. I tell people, don't lock your knees or anything, just squat and go down. And I've had little ones and big ones just lock their knees and pull me right down with them. Look, I don't need to be baptized again tonight. So let's keep it, follow the rules. You hear me, guys? All right. I want to explain this. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And hopefully this will help you understand what it is that we do what we do. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, that means immersed into Christ, immersed into who He is, okay? Baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see this? If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. Do you see why we go under and we come back up? It's a beautiful scene. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. And the death He died to sin once and for all. Let me just tell you this, beloved, before I go any further. When He died for you, for your sins, He did it once for and for all. And so when you're saved, period. Don't be struggling with that act, that knowledge. The death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In baptism, we identify with the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The act of baptism is a symbol of that event in the Lord's life. Just as we share in communion, it's not that we're receiving salvation through the bread or through the wine. It's a symbol of what our Lord has done on the cross. Baptism is our identifying with Him, and that we are buried to that old life, and now we rise again with the new life in Him. We baptize again as a symbol of an outward act that's taking place in the person already. What's already taking place is just an outward symbol of what is already taking place in your life. There's no salvation in the communion, and there's no salvation in the waters. Jesus Christ is our salvation, friends, and by no other means. And you see, if baptism were a sacrament, that being that the act somehow has a saving power, that the act of baptism somehow brings salvation, then it would be important that babies do be baptized, if that's the case. But beloved, there's no saving power in the water that's behind me. There's only water there. And if you're dirty, you're going to get the water dirty, okay? It's not going to clean you so much. We're saved by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're saved by believing that He died on the cross and paid the penalty of our sins. We're saved when we confess that He is Lord of our lives. That's salvation. Baptism is what we do in obedience towards the one that has accomplished all of this in our lives. It is the confession before everybody as to what we put our faith and trust in. So here's the problem with the sacramental system of communion or even baptism. And you take the authority of grace that only comes from God and give it to the church or some person to distribute that grace. What God does, listen to me, what God does, only God can do. Man cannot do this. Man does not distribute anything. Man cannot grant absolution, or he can't grant anything. He can't grant forgiveness. He can't grant salvation. Only God can grant this. God's grace is what saves us. Not by any works, by any of us, by man or no one. The Apostle Paul spent so much time writing letters just to deal with this subject. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, so familiar to it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's God's gift to you. All you have to do is believe it and accept it. Baptism is important, friends. It is what we should do as a public confession. It's commended for that very purpose. And that purpose is to identify with the Lord in His death and resurrection. There are those that would say also that you receive the Holy Spirit at the moment that you're baptized. When you come up out of the water, that's when the Holy Spirit ascends upon you. That's not true. Scripture doesn't teach that. Each of these souls tonight that are being baptized, the Holy Spirit already abides in them. The moment that they put their faith in Christ and they said that they believed Him, that the Holy Spirit began to live with them at that very moment. And these that are here, these eight, want you to know that. They want you to know that. That they're saved, that they believe in Christ as their Savior. And they've come here tonight to make that profession. And we are here to celebrate it with them. We'll be here also to remind them when they struggle from time to time. Christians, do we struggle from time to time? Amen. That's the truth. And so for those of you that are being baptized and you think that all your cares and worries are going to be gone, I'm going to tell you, beloved, they're just going to start. They're getting ready to start. And so you need to know that your family here is here to support you in that. They're here to witness this, and so that when times come difficult for you, they're here to say, hey, remember that night? Remember that night that you committed yourself completely to the Lord? We're here with Him. We're here to support you. We're witnessing this event for a purpose, to be an encourager, to be a teacher, to share the victories with you and to lift you up in times of discouragement. Let me just say this also about baptism. Baptism is not that you're receiving something from God. Baptism is a response to God as an expression to what you've already received. And what we've received is His grace, as I've said. And I'm just say this. I want us to look at Romans chapter 5. And I had Chris put this in the New Living Translation if he was able to. Thank you, sir. And just so it reads easy, so you'll understand what it is that I'm saying. So I want to make a point. I want you to understand it. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, he's talking about Adam, many became sinners. But because one other person obeys God, that's Christ Jesus, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. We've been talking about this on Sunday nights in Galatians, that the law was given so that we could see the ugliness in our life. But as
People sinned more and more. God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus made the way, beloved, is what he's saying here. Not man, not a ritual, not water, not a cracker, nothing, none of that stuff. Christ and Christ alone. So brothers and sisters, when we receive this precious gift, when we receive this free gift that we can't earn, when we accept the forgiveness that only comes from the Lord, what shall we do? What should be our response? Well, if you would like to look at Acts chapter 2, we're going to see some other folk that had that same question. They had the same question. And I know that you were just about to ask me that question. I'm sitting here. I know that one of you were getting ready to ask me. What should we do, preacher? Well, here we go. Peter said this. He preached this great message. But in Acts chapter 2, 36 and 38, he says this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, they were cut to the heart. It dealt with them in such a difficult way. Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the response of those that receive grace, and it should be the response of everybody that receives the same grace today. Be baptized. So water baptism has the function of focusing our attention upon the introduction of the Christian faith, the Christian walk. It helps us to understand and grasp what is involved in being made a part of this body of Christ. That's what we are here tonight, all of us that are believers. And how it cuts us off from the old life and introduces us to a brand new atmosphere, a whole new realm of living, so that we enter into this new life. This is what Paul described in Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So I know I keep beating this thing to death, and I will until I feel like I see in your face that you got it. I don't see it yet. So what is baptism? It's your testimony to everyone that you have made a commitment, an inner commitment, a step in renouncing your old life of self-centeredness and have joined yourself with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. You're saying, I'm going to follow Him completely. I'm not going to half-heartedly do this. I'm not going to just do my best. I am going to, starting today, give Him my everything. I'm going to walk in the newness of this new life. Baptism unites us with the One. You and I are united together with Jesus Christ. Each of us right here tonight are united together. We belong also, all of us, united together with Christ. I ask the question, do you even feel it? I mean, I do. When I'm with the brethren and sisters, I feel that I am with the Lord in all of you people. It's exciting for me. I want us to look at another passage of Scripture, and I want us to understand another avenue of what this means too, that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 4. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What a strange remark there, right? Many of you may have read this and never even paid attention to it. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Now that's an interesting statement. Paul says that when Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they passed under the cloud. You know what that means, right? They went out, there was a pillar of smoke, a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night that guided them through the wilderness. And then they passed through the Red Sea. The water parted. Remember the story? The water parted, and they went through it. Paul says they did it together, is what he's saying. And that it identified them with Moses when they did this. Now, just as a wedding ring identifies us as being married, or circumcision at that time identified the Jews as being descendants of Abraham, and today you and I are identified as being a part of the body of Christ through baptism. So what did it mean by being baptized into Moses? That's a strange statement. Now, I want you to think about this. This was a mob that came out of Egypt.
It said it was 600,000 men, but it was probably about 2 million of them if you consider all their families. So about 2 million people came out of Egypt. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what they were going to do. And they came up to this great big sea, and Moses held his staff out, and the sea opened up, and they parted through it. And when they went through on the other side, when they were on the other side of that, they were now a united nation. They were there under the guidance and the leadership of Moses. So that baptism of going through the sea was there. It was a symbolic of now that they are a part of who Moses is. He was their leader. This is what Paul was trying to say. And this is what baptism accomplishes. It unites us to the one. It identifies us with one leader. And who is it that identifies us with today, friends? Amen. Jesus Christ. So it kind of makes sense of that Romans chapter 6. There's something that happens to a new believer when he receives Jesus into his life. He dies to sin. He dies to that life. Now, I'm not saying, friends, that you're going to stop sinning forever. But it doesn't rule over you any longer. It doesn't identify who you are any longer. And when we read this passage, we're not reading about how we are to be baptized, but that it is a good description of how we have died to sin. That's why we do it this way. We now live in Christ. Now we have been buried with Him through baptism so that we might be also raised with Him in this new life. And this is nothing that can happen or take place in this baptismal pool back here. It's something that's already taken place in a new and regenerated heart. We do this to be a reminder that we now share the life of Christ. And for all those that are here tonight, that are to be baptized, I want you to consider this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." Let this evening, friends, be a marking point of your transformation. Let this be a night that you never forget. Let this time forward set you on a new course, and that direction is the direction that Jesus leads you, not by what it is that you think that you should go and where you think you should go. Follow where the Lord leads you to go. Not a course of your own making. Know this if you don't remember anything else. There's nothing magical or mystical in these waters. It's just water. I married my wife, Kim. This April will be 36 years. Isn't that right? 36 years. And you know, there was nothing fantastical or magical that happened when I put that ring on her finger. But see, the ring doesn't make me married. The ring is a symbol that I'm married. The ring is a reminder that I'm married. The vows that I made, the promises that I made, the commitment that I told her makes me married. And this is what we're doing here tonight. Is that you're making a commitment to the Lord. We're gonna use this act of baptism as your ring so that you'll not forget, that you'll recognize that tonight is the night that everything in my life changes. I'm gonna walk differently. I'm gonna talk differently. I'm gonna act differently. I'm gonna be a different person from this moment on. I just tell you, friends, you're not temporarily saved. You are saved. When you're saved, you're saved. God, there's nothing can undo that if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord. You are saved forever because what He accomplished and is permanent, not because of something that you added to it. It's everything that He did. The baptism tonight is a reminder of that fact. Tonight, we've got 8 souls that have come before us that are ready to commit fully to the Lord by this act of baptism. They've asked you here to witness this event that they might make known to all that they are believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, we're just so excited to be a part of this. I just pray you'll bless these that have come to commit this in this way. Bless us as we prepare for this baptism and for those that are come to commit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.